Let's do a couple of word things here. I want to read one because, and only because, it's 10 years old today, almost the exact same time that I wrote it. 10 years to the damn day. Let's see. Oh, that's right, that light doesn't... I need my close-up glasses. It's called Hometown Farmer's Market. Get home from work, change shirts, take meds, turn around and go back out with flannel shirt and brown leather brim hat. We were going to ride our bikes downtown, but we both ended up with skin problems. One cyst, one 3-inch deep cut, that prevented that. That was interesting. So we drove in the sun, under the perfect blue sky, beneath the triangle of trees, into a small crowd, past all the vendor tables along the sidewalk, the guy with the corn train, the old ladies with numerous pots with unidentifiable plants, vegetables, fruits, reefer. Yeah, no, not that. Damn it. We got to a table with molded cement characters. She, being her, found a long-haired black cat, bought it. I found a molded sun, moon, rain gauge, bought it. The cat weighed 12 pounds. The man said, come back for it on your way out so we don't have to drag it around with us. Then tables of salsas, jellies, assorted wood, things. More green stuff in pots. Still no reefer. Loads of cheap necklaces. Sure not locally made to my eyes. Shrimp. Baby clothes. Or is it doll clothes? Is there a difference? I don't know. The town triangle canopy with cooking brats, homestyle wieners, and hot dogs. Yes, big difference between the two. Then, cookies! Got 2 dozen. Half oatmeal chocolate chip, half peanut butter. That was the end of the line. On the way back, we got some chow from the canopy, fetched the big black cement cat, which we still have, which we have named Lucy Fur. Say it fast. Dumped it all in the back seat of the car and then sat in the sun on a picnic table to have a smoke and watch it all take place from a distance behind it all. Only one question remained, though. Where was the Rucksakers Farm meat and cheese guy? He's our favorite. And this week, MIA at the Hometown Farmer's Market. Regardless, those are some damn good peanut butter cookies with birds. Anyway, that's that. Whoops. I have numb feet. Man. Uh-oh. Well, okay. I want to do 3 things. I'm going to bring the last person that signed up here. But first, I want to do my half-ass winging it at a kind of a moth story, true stories, off the top of my head. What day was this, Saturday? So it's a Saturday morning. I'm sitting out on the patio. One of the first couple of days I've gotten and actually sat on the patio instead of sitting on the couch inside the patio window looking at the chair that I would sit in looking out. So I'm sitting there on the patio and I'm writing. And a neighbor comes by and says, "Did you hear?" And I'm like, "Hear what?" She goes, "The goose down there, the kids busted up their eggs. And I'm like, wait, what? History of that is, we live near a pond, and there's a mother goose that very strangely put her nest at the base of a willow tree. Very obvious place. I've never seen a goose. Did I say duck before? I've never seen a goose do this before in such a conspicuous place. But apparently these two little kids that live in the neighborhood, 5 and 9 years old maybe, who have apparently really shitty parents, decided to go bust up the eggs and take the bloody little baby non-born geese and throw them into the pond. I snapped. Oh no. This don't stand. I jumped into action. I got on the phone. I called the office of the complex we live in. They told me in order to do anything with these people, because I wanted justice, baby. I wanted to avenge my goose friends, because I know these geese. These geese, I fed them when they were little babies. And they keep coming back. They said, you got to file a police report. Once we have the police report, we can do something. What do? I get on the phone to the police and say, hey, here's the situation. There's little cretins running around here doing stuff that they shouldn't do. She goes, well, I'll have a police officer call you back. I'm like, okay. But then I got madder as I sat there, and I called back to the police and says, hey, it's Jeff again. Yeah? Could you have the officer come here? Because I want her to see this. I want her to see the devastation that these little punks caused. I want them to see this mother goose who's running around frantic going, well, I don't know if a goose thinks, what the fuck? But they may. In goose language, of course. So the police come, very kind woman. She took my report. She took the report of the woman who told me about this first, and the eyewitness who was her son, who saw them doing this. And there was others, but we didn't get around to them. And apparently the police went and spoke to both of these parents, which ain't going to do anything, because if you don't teach your children not to destroy wildlife so blatantly and hatefully and ugly, they're not going to change the kids, because the kids are as dumb as the parents, and the parents are as dumb as the kids. But I had a little bit of justice there. Just enough to go, I did my part for my friends, the geese, and the birds, and the sparrows, and the cardinals, and the ducks, and the very rare, who I've only seen this year, white-crowned sparrows. Never seen them before. They came to my feeders. So through all this, I'm like, oh, this poor mother goose. So I got some cracked corn, which is a good thing to give geese and ducks. Giving them bread is like McDonald's. Giving them cracked corn is like a steakhouse, right? And I thought, I got to console her. So I went down to the weeping willow tree where she had her nest. And I remembered when I walked down the very first time after my neighbor told me about this, she was all awry, and the nest was there completely empty, kind of messed up, nothing in there. And that broke my heart. But after all this happened, I went down again to give her some corn, say, it's okay, Mama. humans suck. Some humans suck. And I got the container of corn and I went to toss some, and she came at me like a bat out of hell. Whoa, what are you defending? And then I saw what she was defending. In a matter of an hour, between when I first went down there and looked at that empty nest, went through all the police stuff, all the neighbors, all the rigmarole, there were 5 goose eggs newly laid in that nest. 5. What? How is that possible? So I did what I always do. I called up the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and said, hey, is this possible? I'll get back to you when they get back to me. To be continued, yeah.
It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. My mind is the metal to the magnet of the future, which leaves the present a very lonesome, empty, dark space. Perhaps someday I will be able to demagnetize myself and just be here now. Oh, I want to do this one. Needling a ghost. Picked up a couple of new albums on double live vinyl recently. This particular one, like the other one, which was Patti Smith, sounded like hell recording-wise on the first cut, but was quickly and obviously corrected by someone's hands. Who? It doesn't say, sadly. All details remain unk. Both Double Lives are manufactured by the same company out of the Netherlands. Netherlands, as my Netherlands friend used to remind me. They don't pronounce, Vinyl Passion, the company, to be exact. And are nice and raw. If you play them really loud, I imagine it would sound much like it would in being at the concert at the time it was originally performed. I like this fact. It's real, unpolished, just like the music of this guy who's been dead now due to his own trigger finger, going on 21 years. Allegedly, it was his own hand. What's funniest so far on this particular live recording from Estadio Vélez, Sarsfield, Buenos Aires, Argentina, October 30th, 1992, at the pinnacle of the band's explosion from unknown to a household name, is that they launched into the first 9 seconds of their breakout smelly hit Twice, and then proceeded to not play the song at all throughout the remainder of the concert. Suffice to say, I'm quite pleasantly pleased and entertained by this recording in all its flawed glory. It's like being there 23 years ago, in South America, at the innermost point of the bay, on the continent's southeast coast, headbanging to the soon-to-be, willing-to-be ghost, haunting a stereo system near you. Skybreak 2. Back at the turn of 1998 to 1999, my question was posed in likely a much better poem than this. Since it was a week or so into the new year and there'd not been a speck of snow yet, I asked, have we as humans broken the sky? Then we zip-zap fast forward to almost 20 years later, And I find that I truly didn't know shit all about just how right my question was. Here, almost into the turn of 2018, the evidence and proof is in. We, as humans, have indeed broken the sky. And so I'm convinced by evidence that had we truly began an effort to move away from the fuels that those who gain the most and at the same time seem oblivious as to how much they have to lose, we might not be so stunningly in the pickle we, as humans, find ourselves in nowadays. Seems also so sadly obvious that those who choose profit over their own continued existence, and by proxy, all the rest of us human vermin in their eyes, just do not care. Profit uber alles! Profit uber alles! Sieg Heil Geld! Sieg Heil Geld! Where then does that leave all of us who are not wired for unsustainable forced profit? Yeah, dead. Just like them under the once amazing sky, which they so happily broke for good. Once and for all, the big men conquered an entire planet. Aren't they sexy? That has nothing to do with me. Oh, look at that. There's a bus coming in. That must be the people that reserved it to come here and hang out. Thanks, guys, for coming in. That has nothing to do with me. Dow Jones plummets 1,000 points. Prez Drumpf threatens the world. Cars, the new Internet Kid Challenge. Steal it and get where you need to go, then dump it off. Congress, full of thieves and on their knees. Cocksuck fuckers only, the uber rich, police killing the unarmed without consequence. All, I repeat, all environmental protection laws / rules out the window into the poisoned pond. Add the Mideast, Myanmar, and all the ignorant thefts of the already forced to be incredibly poor et al. But that can't be my world, can it? Well, not today. Today, this is my world, where humans aren't at max cap odds with any others not just like them, willing to kill over mere imagination. No, my world is as peaceful as I can make it. Get to work on time and bother no one. Soak in the talent of humor from those who refuse to be forced into silence. Savor my family triangle for its solid adherence to non-confrontation, because there is just naturally none. My world is this jazz music from a radio station out of Gresham, Oregon. A coffee and water. A snoozing love and windowed cat, highly likely snoozing too, since there are zero birds after a night of so much snow. This is mine, peacefully calm. Slight snow falling and a passing dachshund smiles. This is my little world. The rest of that one out there has nothing to do with me. I will retain my Buddha nature. I will resist the modern-day crush of insanity. I will laugh my ass off at every single opportunity. Until peaceful sleep sets in. Ah, mercy. This is from a while ago. Let's see. How long ago? March 9th of 2001, called Finding Things. This was at the very, very tail end of a oops marriage. So that's the pea pod that this one rests in. Oh, hell, it's getting dark in here. This is entirely not good. I woke at 2 a.m., no idea how I got to bed, or much else that happened between 3 p.m. and then. And after a few glasses of water, I can't find anything. Most importantly, this book, my keys, any memory of what occurred before I woke up. So far, I found the book, obviously, because I'm writing in it, which was out in my car, along with a beer can. But I still have yet to find my keys. This is not a good thing. Hell, I can't even remember if I got laid or had a good time. All I know is it's... I had already kicked her off at this point. All I know is it's 2:45 a.m. and I can't find a damn thing. Oh, wow, look at that. Under the towel on the bathroom floor. I need to wash that thing. My keys! How the hell did they get there? That's scary. I also think I finished a roll of film and took it to be developed. I vaguely remember 100 miles per hour somewhere. Or was it only 90? All I know is I'm home. It's quiet. I'm not in the drunk tank. In the local jail. I'm still searching for things. Mostly some sort of logic at this point. Like, how did I get to the fish fry and back? Was I there at all? Hell, might as well have a beer. It's called The Green Pool of Evil Reincarnate. It's a poolside, middle of the night escape from the thought-searing walls and TV. The VCR is set in recording anyway, so I'm not missing anything that I can't see later. Silence and glow green come from the water, and headlights creep far through the trees, but not to come near to me. Those long gone now summer days here where the water was warm enough to take an evening's dip have passed. But still the cool night air refreshes the fall spirit of things. The poolside table I sit at is dusty with the remains of steak seasoning, sandy and smelling like I missed a real good steak. Yet that smell is nearly sickening. So I move to a different table. That's fine. That other one shook too much anyway. Sunday night, not a soul in sight, but sounds. The waterfall. The rumble of a muffler now and then. An occasional distant dog. No breeze to move the leaves all fallen and browned around and in the water. The sideways smile of the first quarter moon over the rooftop of the building before me and the ever sound and doubt crickets. A closer stare at the unused pool shows a layer of scum on the surface that swirls slowly like a cauldron of evil green, awaiting a meal of a child or a small furry animal. Not moving, I sit, sipping another beer, smoking, listening, watching the entire encompassing evening evolving around me, so slow not to notice a change. Yes, these are my peaceful times, my favorite of all. No people around to ruin the air and all its particles of pure silence under a starry sky. These are the times I strive for, to slip away unnoticed, no one knowing I'm here with my beer, doing what makes my mind slow down. A stray walker strolls by, some headlights race past, knowing they cannot be late, even of the last night of the weekend. A caller approaches through the oil barren gate. To phone in his drug order, oblivious to my presence so far. They always seem surprised to see me here scribbling down what they hope isn't their every move. I think to them, don't worry, I got much better things to write about than you, who is either too cheap or too poor, sadly, to buy a phone. No sympathy or empathy at all. I'm only here for the sound show. That's my gig. Soaking in the autumn leaves, which even in the night's lack of light appears red off the glare of the streetlights. Upon closer inspection of the pool after a piss in the woods, the scum swirling on top is not translucent. It's all white, a fuzz or cream coagulating in slimy circles. Closer up, the evil glowing, growing green is creepier than words. Things of dreams and evil games of other planes of existence. So much for swimming, even if it was 70 degrees. The cement suits my seating just fine. A couple slip out of the building, and I find it odd since I didn't see them go in. And I cringe. Seems the batteries in my book light have had it, which in turn makes me close the book on the dark of this evening and fall into the cool, calm cold of a southern November night under the stars next to the green pool of evil reincarnate, alone and satisfied. It's called the Green Pool of Evil Reincarnate. It's a poolside, middle of the night escape from the thought-searing walls and TV. The VCR is set in recording anyway, so I'm not missing anything that I can't see later. Silence and glow green come from the water, and headlights creep far through the trees, but not to come near to me. Those long gone now summer days here where the water was warm enough to take an evening's dip have passed. But still the cool night air refreshes the fall spirit of things. The poolside table I sit at is dusty with the remains of steak seasoning, sandy and smelling like I missed a real good steak. Yet that smell is nearly sickening. So I move to a different table. That's fine. That other one shook too much anyway. Sunday night, not a soul in sight, but sounds. The waterfall. The rumble of a muffler now and then. An occasional distant dog. No breeze to move the leaves all fallen and browned around and in the water. The sideways smile of the first quarter moon over the rooftop of the building before me and the ever sound and doubt crickets. A closer stare at the unused pool shows a layer of scum on the surface that swirls slowly like a cauldron of evil green, awaiting a meal of a child or a small furry animal. Not moving, I sit, sipping another beer, smoking, listening, watching the entire encompassing evening evolving around me, so slow not to notice a change. Yes, these are my peaceful times, my favorite of all. No people around to ruin the air in all its particles of pure silence under a starry sky. These are the times I strive for, to slip away unnoticed, no one knowing I'm here with my beer, doing what makes my mind slow down. A stray walker strolls by, some headlights race past, knowing they cannot be late, even of the last night of the weekend. A caller approaches through the oil-barren gate. To phone in his drug order, oblivious to my presence so far. They always seem surprised to see me here scribbling down what they hope isn't their every move. I think to them, don't worry. I got much better things to write about than you, who is either too cheap or too poor, sadly, to buy a phone. No sympathy or empathy at all. I'm only here for the sound show. That's my gig. Soaking in the autumn leaves, which even in the night's lack of light appears red off the glare of the streetlights. Upon closer inspection of the pool after a piss in the woods, the scum swirling on top is not translucent. It's all white, a fuzz or cream coagulating in slimy circles. Closer up, the evil glowing, growing green is creepier than words. Things of dreams and evil games of other planes of existence. So much for swimming, even if it was 70 degrees. The cement suits my seating just fine. A couple slip out of the building, and I find it odd since I didn't see them go in. And I cringe. Seems the batteries in my book light have had it, which in turn makes me close the book on the dark of this evening and fall into the cool, calm cold of a southern November night under the stars next to the green pool of evil reincarnate. Alone. And satisfied. This is Diplomat. This is all brand new, mostly. Normally I'm reading old stuff from 20 years ago. Of our two goose families produced this year at the pond, the first arrives when I blinked. So I shook out a bit of the mix of cracked corn and sunflower seeds from the small flyer's feeder. They're happy now. Then the second family arrives on another of my blinks. And this poor battered family with the likely dead father and 3 out of 5 kiddos left after Cooper's Hawks got to them. They too would like some of that chow. The first family flat out refuses entry to the food space. So I take a mittful of chow, goose chow, mind you, from the feeder and toss it off to the other side of the patio for family two. Good enough? Of course not. Family one, mom starts after family two. And I stand up and do what I've learned works somehow to keep goose families in their own happy spaces without all the low to the ground bulldozer neck thing going on that gooses do. Well, it mostly worked. I ended up having a little chat with the first mom, asking her to be reasonable, and how the second family has been through hell, and to let them under the feeder. Then I sat back down and thought, wow, man, I was just standing there out loud, negotiating, successfully, mind you, with a goose. Here's where a euphemism comes in. I effing love my life and where I live. There's that. Are there any children left in here? Anybody easily offended? No? Good.
The kids are gone.
Kids are gone? Well, all right. In that case, I want to do something here. Maybe if I read a short trilogy, it doesn't have a title overall, but three different ones. For some reason, I have no idea why I stapled these together. Somewhere in the past, I must have thought they kind of went together. This is from way back when I used to drink a hell of a lot more than I do. The spirit's hiding. There's a kind of drinker that tends to get fancy about their attempt to keep the intake intact, controlled. One that finds perfectly back-pocketable plastic half pints of, say, vodka, and makes a true effort to fill the empties again from the 1.75 and squirrel berry them all around, thinking sillily enough that they'll forget where they put them. And when the big bottle is gone, they'll stumble across one in a pinch and go, fuck, I forgot about that one. Rock. But this idealism always fails. This kind of drinker always remembers each and every cubbyhole, nook, cranny, behind bookshelf and mattress space, and in the end, gets their just reward. This is positive in only one sense. When one has drank enough to where they no longer remember where those secret half pints are, that's when one should logically, naturally, let the spirits fly away to the ether. Away from the self. Right. But that's just the way shit can get in trying times. Par course match. Part two. Post end of the bar. Oh, you were here for this one. This is at Octopi.
All right.
In, where is it? Wanakee. Post end of the bar. All these years later, after Prairie Lanes, Tyranina Brewing Company, Rockola in Raleigh, and on and on and on, I find myself again at the far end of the bar. Considering all, I don't do this much at all anymore, and I'm finding I miss it. That murmur of all the other patrons speaking, the music that is only occasionally identifiable over the human din, makes me wonder, which has the most return on investment? Sitting at home and tipping the bottle, or tipping a couple pints while in doing so allows the possibility to conversate with random but always kind and friendly strangers at the bar? Fucking question, huh?
All right, three.
I'm not really like this. Inker hears dumb near dead. The old skipping mind said, "Hey now, enough of that snoozing. Get you some of that terra firma under your numb-ass feets." Ink runs out to mere paper indentations. This is where I began using Pentel Energel 1.0 Black. Bye-bye, zebra. And alas, I have arrived. Fucked old feet firmly on the grass and dirt and worms. I know they're down under there, and all the rest of the planet's guts. I see storms a-brewing to the southwest, which is why having the setting sun well north of there is the day's leather chaps. And it's robins, robins, robins! Perhaps seven or so within earshot. I hear you, Cardinal. I know you were near. I saw and waved to you just this morning. Hey, Mr. Cardinal. Hey, Miss Cardinal. It's good to have feeders. Would you looky there? The closed purple tips of the iris are up and saying, "Oh, you bet we'll all be out blooming in a day or two." And I reply to them, "I'll be eyeing it and waiting for that amazing aroma, my prince purple friends." To stick your nose into a fresh blooming iris is heaven. You gotta shuffle around the old numb-ass feet from time to time, reestablish the connection to the growing floor for what it's worth. Think, "Oh, this beats the post end of the bar any fucking no one day." Yay. In a world long, long ago, there was a chipmunk. Yeah, let's wrap it up on this. Let these folks get home instead of running beyond. I think we've run this, as I like to say, till the fucking wheels come off, baby. So this is a good closer. Holy cow, is this print small. Another last page. Real calm, it really is, except for all them crickets. The pit spit pat of leftover rain falling from the edge of the roof still. Dark, calm again. Few motors sound from the road, just on the other side of the trees. More crickets. Two tree frogs chip in, calm. Smoke, probably. Pen tip on the hard cardboard back cover. Pat, pat, tap, slap, swish, tap, 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 slap, slap, swish. Safety light off wet branch glistens. The rain passed, at least for now. Heavy head, sway, tap, tap, tip. Drip hiss of a breeze arrives and departs up above through wet black trees. Calm, real calm, in and about. Not even a cat at the screen door. Soft lamp shines through, soon to be out like my mind, my eyes, body. Drawing down to the bottom, empty can to be retrieved in the morning's light. I ask, "Where's the daddy long legs? Are they hiding tonight?" And one, like I conjured it with my imagination, appears at the edge of my little writing table and crawls up and across another last page. I have to thank Adrian at Common Ground here for allowing us to come and do this goofy-ass thing here every odd Monday. And Crash and Corey, wherever he went. Thank you, Crash, for the... So until the next odd Monday, I bid you adieu. I wish you well. Stay groovy.